This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Hello, all you infidels, hellbound atheists, indifferent agnostics. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. This is the weekend of January the 29th, Thomas Paine's birthday, and January 30th
of
2011.
Happy birthday, Thomas Paine, who named our country.
Yeah.
Free Thought Radio is broadcasting and streaming from Madison, Wisconsin. We're also airing in several cities around the country, Monterey, Atlanta, Grand Rapids among them, and podcasting everywhere.
And this show, Free Thought Radio, is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF. We are the nation's largest organization of atheists and agnostics. And I just came up with a new category. If you are a kind of person who gets sickened by religion, you could call yourself a gagnostic. So atheists, agnostics, ignostics,
well, there may be
ichtheists.
Some things on this program that might make a few people feel a little gaggy about religion and government.
I want to say that our organization works to keep state and church separate and to educate the public about the views of non-believers.
And I'm going to play a teaser on the theme today and see if you can guess what this show is going to be about.
Hearing our prayers, we know that we come before you humbly, not because we deserve your presence, but because your son, Jesus Christ, earned that for us with his death on the cross. We thank you for that.
These blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
All things we do, Lord, honor and glorify you. In your name we pray. Amen.
What do you think we're talking about, Dan? Sermons in churches, maybe?
It sounds like it's a church meeting you're listening to, but no. There's a whole lot of sermonizing and praying to Jesus, or as Annie Laurie likes to say, to Jesus. It's going on at the Wisconsin State Assembly. And, of course, it's going on all over the country, but that's what you heard is from the Wisconsin State Assembly. And a lot of it is by legislators, as well as by their designated clergy proxies.
And we'll have attorney Sarah Brosh back on Free Thought Radio in a few minutes to talk about the major complaint that she has prepared for FFRF just last week, asking the State Assembly to stop that illegal praying.
And then later in the show, we'll interview a Hawaii FFRF member and a state church activist, Mitch Kale, about his victory this month, which ended prayers at the Hawaii Senate.
And before we get to all that, a little bit of other news. First, briefly, Dan, you just returned from a debate in Corvallis, Oregon with Dinesh D'Souza. How'd that go?
Oh, that was fun. That was last Monday, January 24th. 1,000 people packed into that room. The debate was about life after death. The evidence, it was live. A lot of our members showed up. It was about 40-60 split, 40% of very active, demonstrative freethinkers in the audience. And it was a lively debate. It's going to be online pretty soon. I think it's going to be one of my favorite debates.
According to you, D'Souza died a little bit, huh?
Well, my opening line was, listening to your opening statement, Dinesh, made me have a near-death experience.
Well, before we turn to today's theme of illegal praying by state legislative bodies, we do want to mention FFRF's major complaint in Giles County, Virginia, where we wrote a letter last December. Patrick Elliott, one of our staff attorneys, they had 10 commandments on the schoolroom walls, which is totally illegal. There is a Supreme Court decision exactly speaking to that the preeminent purpose of the first four commandments is totally religious and it's unlawful. So he wrote a letter to the superintendent, and lo and behold, we had a reasonable superintendent who agreed with us and the law and removed them and put up declarations of independence. And then the whole thing blew up, and the school board, 5-0, overruled the superintendent.
So let's listen to one of the many news outlets which is covering this hot controversy right now, right there in Virginia. This is WSLS coverage.
The Ten Commandments will be back up again in all Giles County schools thanks to the outcry of hundreds of parents. The controversy started last month when the school board office got a letter from the Freedom From Religion Foundation requesting the commandments be removed from all schools and threatening a lawsuit. After talking with the school attorney and the state, the superintendent tells us the commandments were removed. That all changed tonight after more than 100 parents made their feelings known to the school board. New at 11, 10 on your side's Ashley Roberts has the passionate pleas that changed school leaders' minds.
This Giles County School Board meeting was one for the record books. More than 100 people fighting to bring the Ten Commandments back to their schools.
You walk by and you read, "Thou shalt not kill." And if you were in Littleton, Colorado, in Columbine High School, it would mean something to you today.
This is a list we printed, but the schools had plaques. After more than a decade, they were removed from Giles County schools. This is what prompted the debate. A letter from an attorney who represents the Freedom From Religion Foundation. He says displaying the commandments in schools is unconstitutional.
If that attorney wants to contact you again, you just tell them you'll see them in court.
After hearing from dozens of people, it was the board's turn to talk. With a show of hands, the decision to put them back up was unanimous. It's a choice the board knows could land them in court.
We've had no problems with it, and it's been read by our students, so we'll see what happens.
So what if the case goes to court? Well, community members say they would support the board, but if necessary, would they be willing to pay more money in taxes to foot the bill?
I certainly am, and I will donate money. I will do everything. We will have fundraisers. This is not going to go down easy if they take us to court.
Simple answer, yes.
A decision to calm controversy could possibly start more.
The superintendent says the Ten Commandments will return to schools by the end of next week. Meanwhile, the Freedom From Religion Foundation says it is considering all legal options to address the school board's decision.
Yeah, we do need to find parents with children in the schools, and then we would be able to sue, and we will win. And it's really sad that school board officials who take an oath of office to uphold our secular constitution would thumb their noses at the Constitution and at the Stone versus Graham Supreme Court decision that directly tells them you can't do this. And in the state, Virginia, Commonwealth, that produced James Madison, who wrote our secular constitution, and Thomas Jefferson, who made sure that we had separation of church and state in it. It's really sad, but we'll be pursuing that.
And why do we have to go to court? Why can't we just enforce the law? It's already declared illegal. Now, let's turn to the foundation's newest complaint of the week to the Wisconsin State Assembly about its unlawful and over-the-top practice of sectarian prayers. And who better to talk to than Sarah Brosh, the lawyer who has done a phenomenal job researching and preparing our complaint. Welcome back to Free Thought Radio, Sarah.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me back.
So you and we wrote the Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Jeff Fitzgerald. And Sarah, tell us, what is the Assembly doing that it shouldn't be doing?
Maybe the better question would be, what are they doing that they should be doing?
Yeah, I wish they'd just all recess and go home.
Or do their jobs.
Yeah, exactly, or stick to their jobs.
But now you just spent two or three laborious weeks listening to prayers. So tell us, what are they doing?
Well, simply, they're violating the Constitution, and specifically, they're violating the Establishment Clause of the Constitution and the First Amendment. And now, the U.S. Supreme Court, they did carve out a very narrow exception to the Establishment Clause for legislative prayer as a nod to history and custom and as an act of ceremonial deism as it took place in the first Congress.
And directed only to the legislature.
Exactly. Right? But they were very clear, and this came in the seminal 1983 Marsh v. Chambers decision.
They were very clear that you can't have sectarian prayers, for example, prayers exclusively to Jesus, for example.
And subsequent Supreme Court jurisprudence has followed up and has clarified that position, that the Marsh constraints for what is considered constitutionally permissible legislative prayer, non-sectarian, non-denominational, addressed only to the legislators and to no one else, and also not to citizens, not to visitors.
So what you showed was statistically how many of the prayers were Christian? In 77% or so?
Yes.
Or more?
Well, and actually, the of the representative-led prayers, 100% explicitly and unequivocally Christian, and almost 100% actually specifically invoke a Christian deity.
So you need to stay tuned, because we're going to play lots more clips in the second segment of a lot of praying. It sounds like it belongs in a church, not in the assembly. We're talking with lawyer Sarah Brosh about FFRF's major new complaint, demanding that the Wisconsin Assembly quit violating the law and stop praying to Jesus. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker, and then we'll be also talking with Mitch Kahl about his victory ending prayers in the Hawaii Senate.
Hi, this is August Berkshire, and I'm the president of Minnesota Atheists, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
As I thought about today's prayer, a popular hymn popped into my mind, and that hymn is, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
That's Representative Barbara Tolles of Milwaukee, Democrat, before the Wisconsin Assembly. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio. Annie Laurie and I are co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're back with our guest, the lawyer Sarah Brosh, talking about her and FFRF's major legal complaint to the Wisconsin State Assembly about these unlawful prayers that they are offering. Before we get Sarah back on, let's listen to a few more typical moments from those assembly prayers.
Dear God, may you be pleased and may you be honored in everything that is said and done in this assembly as we lift them before you. In the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ, we pray.
We praise you that everything that we set our feet to do, Father, it will prosper in your name. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, to our God, in Jesus' name, amen.
Father, for unity within our state, the kind of unity that Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17, I pray that this state would continue to be strong economically, morally, educationally, and in every dimension and facet of our life. We give you thanks and praise for this gathering today, for the business that's set before these men and women. We ask your grace in the name of your Son. Amen.
Okay, so we've got lawyer Sarah Brosh with us. Who were we just listening to there?
Well, the first clip was Reverend Martin Childs with the Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and he was the guest, or as I like to refer to them, because this is truly what they are, the Christian clergy proxy, hand-selected by Representative Barbara Tolles of Milwaukee, the Democratic representative of the 17th Assembly District here in Wisconsin.
And then we had someone praying in Jesus' name. The second clip was who?
That was Pastor Crystal Williams Obie of the Northside Christian Assembly here in Madison. And then the final one was Pastor Walter Harvey of Park Lawn Assembly of God, also in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
And if you didn't know it, you'd think you were listening to a religious revival meeting, not a secular meeting of our legislators.
That's right. And really, these prayers, the prayers that are led by the representatives, the prayers that are led by clergy persons who are the proxies of the representatives and endorsed by the representatives, they are not just prayers. These are sermons. They are preaching. And they're not just preaching to the legislators present. They're reaching out and preaching and addressing the visitors in the assembly chamber and Wisconsin state citizens as well.
Now, how many opening prayers in the Wisconsin State Assembly were there in the last session, Sarah?
There were, by my count, there were 37 total opening floor session opening prayers.
And then you were able to listen to and transcribe about 33 of those
about
prayers?
About 33 of those prayers, that's
and
correct.
And almost all of them were Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And you were really floored by not only the content of their prayer and the content you felt included speaking in the name of citizens, mm-hmm, a great deal, or directed to citizens, but also the florid introductions.
I was blown away. I was blown away. These introductions by the representatives, they're hand-selecting their own clergy, their own Christian clergy from their churches and their own assembly districts, and then they're getting up ahead of them before they deliver the invocations, and they are just waxing poetic, you know, and the florid, you know, effusive testimonials, advancing and proselytizing and advancing the very explicit religious message and mission of these invocations.
That's like a state endorsement of credibility for this particular church. That pastor can go back and say, the state of Wisconsin.
The chambers.
You know, it gives them an advantage over other religions.
Shall we listen to another prayer clip?
For the reminder we had several weeks ago of the Easter season, of the death of your son, and his rebirth, his resurrection. We thank you for what that means for us as individuals.
So thank you. Thank you, God, for killing your son.
That was the pastor talking about Easter, addressing
that wasn't
God.
A pastor. Wasn't a pastor. That was one of our elected representatives in the state of Wisconsin. That was Representative Daniel Lemahue, and he is a represents the 59th Assembly District, and he's the Republican representative from Oostburg.
And that one caught my eye because he's basically saying, thank you, Father, for killing your son on our behalf, our sinful behalf. So I just thought, boy, don't they even think what they're saying?
And he loves to pray. During the 2009 and 2010 legislative session, Representative Lemahue prayed three times. And during all three of his prayers, he invoked the Christian deity. And he loves to address the visitors and citizens. And he also explicitly advocates on behalf of an American Christian theocracy. He expressly says that the legislators in the Wisconsin State Assembly serve Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you picked out several transcribed several prayers that were saying we're doing your work first, and then the state of Wisconsin.
That's a blatant abuse of your authority as a secular legislator in the state. That's unconstitutional. That's illegal.
Well, let's listen to another one.
Faithfulness of Abraham, the boldness of Moses, the empathy of Queen Esther, the vision of Joshua, the tenacity of Nehemiah, the gift of Jeremiah, the tenderness of Ruth, the courage of King David, the gratitude of Paul, the aptitude of King Solomon, the fortitude of Deborah, and the power, grace, and love of Jesus the Christ.
So who was that?
That was Reverend Martin Childs, again, from Pilgrim Rest Missionary Baptist Church in Milwaukee.
Now, what struck me about that one was the compassion of Queen Esther. How many people, Dan?
I forgot to look it up. 50,000 people were killed.
She's responsible for the death in the Bible of 50,000 people. Where's the compassion?
And then and the next day, the king said, were you happy with that? And she said, let's do it again.
Slaughter in the name of Queen Esther.
Compassionate.
We have one more clip here.
Good morning. And welcome. Today I have the pleasure of introducing Pastor Walter Harvey, the senior pastor of Parklawn Assembly of God, which is located in my district, the 17th Assembly District. Pastor Harvey has been a pastor there since 1993 and has the personal mission of proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom with creativity, clarity, and power. He can be heard daily on Light for the World radio broadcast and seen each week on TVN Time Warner Cable TV.
So briefly, Sarah, that legislator was who?
That's the Democratic Representative Barbara Tolles from the 17th Assembly
another
District.
Another unpaid commercial there.
Exactly.
You know, really promoting.
It's an
not
advertisement.
Just having an opening solemnization, as your very good letter pointed out, and it's available at our website. I'm Annie Lurie-Geller with Dan Barker. We've been talking with lawyer Sarah Brosh, and we're going to be joined with Mitch Colley from Hawaii, talking about his victory ending Senate prayers in Hawaii.
Hey, my name is Barb Hazlett from Hancock, Wisconsin, and I'm on Free Thought Radio. And I love Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio, and we have on the phone with us from Hawaii our guest, Mitch Kale. You want to introduce Mitch?
Yeah, and we also have in the studio with us Sarah Brosh. Say hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Because we've just been talking about the problem of unconstitutional legislative prayers with Sarah here in Wisconsin, and we're going to be talking with Mitch Kale, who is the founder and activist with Hawaii Citizens for State Church Separation. He's a longtime FFRF member. Some of you may remember he was on at the end of the year talking about being roughed up for a protesting prayer in the Hawaii Senate, and we have such good news. In the last 10 days or so, he persuaded the Hawaii Senate to stop praying. So congratulations, Mitch.
Well, thank you very much, and aloha to everyone.
And to recap, why don't you tell us how you first started protesting this and how you succeeded?
Well, for the longest time, we've been protesting the prayer. I think the invocations at the legislature, like anyone else does, we write letters, we complain, and basically we go unheard. And so I decided to step things up a little bit and move from complaining to civil disobedience. And so my plan was to announce in advance that I would be coming to the legislature, and when they violated my First Amendment rights by subjecting me to a purely Christian, purely sectarian prayer, that I would stand up and make a very short objection. And I just stood up and said, I object. My name is Mitch Kale. I object to this prayer on the grounds that it violates my rights under the First Amendment to the Constitution. And I sat down quietly. Of course, I had no idea that I was going to be dragged from the chambers, thrown down on the ground outside, and my cameraman, who was there reporting it, was also going to be attacked by members of the Sergeant-at-Arms. I was arrested. I was taken to prison. Literally to a prison, the prison here, not just a holding cell, but to the prison where I was held for a little over an hour and a half before I could be bailed out. And I've subsequently went to court on charges of disorderly conduct, resisting arrest, and obstructing government. And for everyone out there who's listening to know, I was acquitted on all of these charges.
Well, we had you on Free Thought Radio at the end of the year when you were acquitted. But at that time we didn't know. Your attorney was interviewed saying that they were hopeful that your acquittal was going to toll the death knell for prayer in the Senate. But why didn't you tell us a little bit more about the judge, what she said when she acquitted you?
Well, we really got a favorable bench ruling from the judge. Not only did she acquit me on the charges, but she also stated from the bench that I had a right, a First Amendment right, to object to my rights being violated. And then she went further and said that the Senate prayers violated the constitutional separation of church and state. And that favorable ruling, which does have a legal precedent here in Hawaii now, I think really twisted the Senate's arm. And it told them that they were either going to have to establish guidelines and rules that would essentially censor the speakers or limit their speech to staying within the Constitution, or they could just do away with the invocation altogether. And to our surprise and delight, they did away with the invocation altogether. We have been to subsequent sessions of the legislature now, and there is no prayer.
And when did that decision come down?
That was just about maybe 10 days ago or so.
In early January, then.
Was that the decision of the Senate, the head of the Senate, or was that a vote, or how did that happen?
They had a committee, and the committee had a vote, and the Senate actually voted to eliminate the prayer, eliminate the invocation altogether. They just don't have them.
Now, this has not been a huge, there hasn't been a huge outcry as far as we could tell in Hawaii. What's it been like?
No, not really. I mean, you know, Hawaii, like I said before, is a minority Christians. Only about 28% of Hawaii residents belong to any Christian churches. There's Buddhists, there's Jews, there's a lot of atheists and agnostics, and, of course, people who have traditional Hawaiian beliefs. And those people, I don't think, appreciated the Christian sermonizing and proselytizing that was going on, and I think we actually have a favorable, in the state here, most people agree that we shouldn't be having these.
Now, in your assembly, what is going on?
Well, over in the House side, they are considering the same thing. They have it's an internal, private, executive matter for them, but they'll probably be releasing a statement soon that says whether or not they're either going to construct non-sectarian invocations and open them up to, you know, a wide variety of speakers, or they're going to do away with it altogether. And I'm not sure which route they're going to take. I would prefer doing away with it altogether. That seems to be the best solution.
Well, now, one other question here is that you do have a civil lawsuit, do you not, against, is it the Sergeant of Arms and members of the Senate for manhandling you?
Yes, we do have a civil lawsuit. It's Kale v. Villaflor. Ben Villaflor, the former WBA boxing champion, is the Sergeant at Arms here in the Senate. He assaulted me. He assaulted my cameraman. The police that were there failed to do their duty. They failed to protect us. They failed to intervene. I was wrongfully arrested, and that civil suit is going forward. And tomorrow we're actually in court with a status hearing before Judge Kevin Chang, and this is in federal court.
And there's video coverage, too, of that, right?
The whole thing is available on video. Anybody who wants to see it can just Google my name, Mitch Kale, or HCSSC, and you're going to find it.
And Mitch Kale, Kale is spelled K-A-H-L-E. It's all over YouTube, and it's very shocking.
I think that when people see it, they understand that the authorities acted wrongly.
Well, I know that Sarah here in the studio was saying she's ready to go down and do a little civil disobedience at the Wisconsin Assembly.
I was going to ask for your opinion on that. So, what do you think about staging a similar protest here in Wisconsin?
I hope it catches on. And let me say that I think that there are two ways of approach. One is what I call the principle of adverse inclusion. And that's if they don't want to do away with the invocation, then what they need to do is include everybody. And that includes Scientologists and Hare Krishnas and Wiccans and basically anybody that wants to come. They cannot decide that, oh, no, it's just going to be this little cadre of Christian ministers that we're going to have over and over again come in and give the invocation. It's got to be open to everybody. What you're going to find is that they hate the principle of adverse inclusion, because they don't want it to be anything but Jesus. And even on the rare occasions that they allow a Jew to come in or something, that's just lip service. They're just they think that by adding a little bit of diversity that they get around the constitutional limitation, that they must be non-sectarian, and they're dead wrong. And so that's the principle of adverse inclusion, I think, is one way to approach it, but a better way is civil disobedience. Because I don't think there's a legislative body in the country that wants to have members of the community, as soon as the word Jesus is mentioned, standing up and saying, I object to this, you're violating my civil rights, and you have a right to do it under the law. You have to be prepared to be arrested. So anybody that's going to do this has to know that you may be taken out, you may be arrested. And if you are, you should obviously just cooperate. You shouldn't fight back, because you're going to have a very nice little lawsuit against them.
Well, we're going to have to think that over. Now, you'd probably been complaining about legislative prayers for years, as we have. Is that right?
Yeah, for about 16 years, actually, here in Hawaii.
Yeah. And, this is Sarah's second attempt to get them to stop praying, because when you were our legal intern in 2008,
that was your
big project.
I just wanted to clarify something, Mitch. So despite the diverse makeup of the population in the state of Hawaii, because I haven't listened to any of the prayers, but in your opinion, what would you say was the breakdown in terms of the explicitly Christian prayers opposed? Did they feign any attempt at diversity in the clergy that were asked to deliver?
Very little. Good question. Very little. They had a Muslim and they had a Buddhist. Now, keep in mind, a Buddhist, we have a huge Buddhist population here in Hawaii. Basically, they were just trying to pay lip service to this idea, and so they invited a few, of diversity. But for the most part, the videos that we reviewed over the last 2 years of every session of the legislature, more than 90% of them were overtly Christian, meaning the word Jesus is used explicitly in the invocation, more than 90%.
So kind of a legacy of the Christian missionaries that...
Yeah.
Yeah, and we definitely still have that in here in Hawaii, for sure.
It's still the missionary position, isn't it, going on?
Yes, as our friend Christopher so aptly put it.
So, but besides all that, it's not just legislators opening their own little behind closed door sessions. It's to the whole public that's there. It's to you. It's to the entire state, isn't it?
We're required to attend church as a price of participating in government, and I don't think that should be allowed.
Well, we agree with you, of course. And I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker. We're co-presidents of FFRF, and we have Sarah Brosh, a lawyer, and we're talking with Mitch Kale from Hawaiian Citizens for Separation of Church and State, and we'll be right back to talk about how you can fight prayer, illegal prayer, by government bodies done in your name, illegally, against the Supreme Court ruling.
Is that Imagine playing in the background on the
ukulele?
Yeah, the ukulele.
Very, very nice, Brian. Thank you.
Israel.
Huh.
And we'll talk with Mitch Kale in the fourth segment about some more about why this is such an injury to those of us who believe in the separation of church and state.
And then take bets on what might happen in Wisconsin. Stay tuned.
Hello, my name's Bernie from Sarnia, Ontario, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. And we also have in the studio Sarah Brosh, a lawyer who's working with the foundation. And on the phone, we have Mitch Kale, who's in Hawaii, continuing to talk about his recent victory, stopping prayers before the Senate in Hawaii. So, Mitch, I wanted to know, the prayers, are they pastors and ministers, or are they the legislators themselves?
Shouldn't we say that in the past tense? Were they?
Well, because the Assembly still has them.
Oh, right? I see.
They basically used to do a round robin where the legislators, the senators themselves, would essentially invite their pastor or some pastor that they knew to come and give the invocation. And so each senator would have an obligated day that it's their day to pick someone. And that person would show up, and they'd have no limitations on what they could say at all. And a lot of times it's like, you know, what really bothered me the most is that they would go on with these very offensive prayers where after the gavel is banged, the members of the audience are asked to please rise for the prayer. And then you've got this preacher up there. And a lot of times they would weave politics into their mm-hmm. little sermons and mm-hmm. proselytizing. And they would say things like, God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. The Bible says this, the Bible says that. And of course, in Hawaii, civil unions is a really hot issue. And so I always took deep offense to these ministers having this special privileged platform where they could preach to everyone.
Well, Sarah just did all of this research on the prayers in the Wisconsin Assembly. She's in here nodding her head. What do you want to say about that, Sarah?
Well, yeah, I would love to know what you saw down there, because I'm flabbergasted. I'm just cannot even believe what I've been listening to and what I've been watching online with respect to the prayers here in the Wisconsin State Assembly. There have actually been instances where one of the Christian clergy proxies of one of the representatives got up to the podium and actually exploited the prayer opportunity and took advantage of the situation to actually lobby on behalf of specific assembly bills, which he named by number. He named them by number, and he did this. Who did he do this for? He wasn't even lobbying on behalf of the citizenry. Do you know who he was lobbying on behalf of? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Have you seen anything like that down in Hawaii?
Well, what we have seen are large evangelical churches have special services where they invite members of the legislature. And the members go right to their churches and walk around down the aisle asking people for their vote. And then they stand up in the pulpit of the church and discuss pending legislation.
Well, that's probably going on, and we just don't know it. It's probably going on everywhere, not just in the state of Hawaii, and that is really scary. I mean, that's just politicking in churches and pandering for votes.
You know, once again, I think that the approach that you guys should take, and I don't think that I think that once you get to the civil disobedience stage, basically you're saying, we're desperate. We're going to stop these people. But as far as making an argument, I think the idea that people should not be subjected to church services as a price of participating mm-hmm. in government is a very sound argument. And I think that that should be pushed and pushed and pushed toward every legislature in the country and every city council and every neighborhood board and mm-hmm. every little, because it seems to me that even though the Supreme Court in the Marsh v. Chambers suit, right. which we all agree is a disastrous ruling, basically opened the floodgates, and now every single little legislative body down to the smallest little town council thinks that they have a right to have a prayer, and then it turns right into Jesus. Mm-hmm. And discriminates against everyone else.
Well, because the court kind of said that, you know, prayer might be a way to solemnize in a, you know, ceremonial deism, but these legislatures are taking advantage and they're using it. Well, here in Wisconsin, they had an exorcism.
Sarah, you had a transcription of an exorcism.
That was the prior legislative
in
session. But yes,
2007, 2008.
Yeah. And
I'm going to exorcise this chamber.
So that's going way across the line.
Well, I mean, my gosh, you'd think they'd be appalled themselves, the legislators. Now, I haven't given up hope that we might find some legislators who would tackle this as Ernie Chambers did. Mm-hmm. He was the senator who took Marsh versus Chambers and have, you know, the standing you need to have. Unfortunately, somebody who works at the legislature is exposed to it. Ideally, you need to have a legislator or someone like that.
Yes, it would be nice to have an employee, maybe a clerk or something. Mm-hmm.
And we have not given up hope. We're going to redouble our efforts to find someone like that.
Could also be a former clerk.
But, I mean, you know, at least if they would conform to Marsh versus Chambers, I mean, that would be one step in the right direction. But our group does not believe the legislators should have a prayer, not on government time.
Is your invocation before the gavel or after the gavel?
Can you answer that, Sarah?
It's after I hear the gavel, and
see, that brings you in though as a citizen as having standing.
Yes,
it's possible. Yes, we will. Even if they do it before the gavel, I don't think that makes a bit of difference. I think that's just Alliance Defense Fund propaganda.
What I would advise, and I'm sorry, it's just that we just came off of all this. What I would advise is that you find somebody who isn't just going there for the purpose of objecting to the prayer.
Right.
You find somebody who goes there, who's
for
a
business,
member of your organization, who goes there for another reason. They go there because they're following a bill that has to do with taxes, or they're following a bill that has to do with something else. And they have to be there in order to participate in their government.
Yeah, although they should have the right to participate in their government regardless and not be prayed at. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barka, and Sarah Brosh is in the studio with us. And we congratulate you again, Mitch Kale, from Hawaii Citizens for the Separation of State and Church, for a phenomenal victory that should inspire, quote unquote, all of us around the country to work a little harder to keep religion out of government.
And let's not pray that your civil lawsuit is also successful. So,
thank you very much. I appreciate all your help, and I appreciate everything Freedom From Religion Foundation does. You guys are the greatest organization in the country, in my opinion.
Is that an invitation for me to come over there and give a talk in Hawaii?
We don't ever raise any money, so we can't or have any of that stuff. We're just troublemakers.
Well, thank you, Mitch, and thanks for being on the show. We also want to thank Sarah Brosh. It's B-R-A-A-S-C-H. Sarah Brosh, who's an intern, a lawyer working with the foundation, working on this assembly case. And our producer in the studio, Brian, who's been very quiet but very helpful, Brian Turani. And we also want to thank our announcer is Buzz Kemper, who's the voice deity. He works as an engineer and an owner at Audio for the Arts, a studio here in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear the archives of Free Thought Radio or to sign up for the podcast.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Just join us. Go to our website at ffrf.org and you will help our work on legislation and the radio show. But we'd be happy to send a sample issue of our newspaper Free Thought Today and brochures about us. Tune in next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope someday.